He goes to the studio, yeah. So. July 23rd, if it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it must be time for This Week in Waukesha. I am your host, Alderman Emeritus Don Brown, coming to you live from the mobile offices of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here at the Waukesha Farmers Market. And look at the young faces coming by and the proud parents. Hello. We've got a packed show of candidates. It is primary season. And thanks to my four friends from Liverpool with that old, that white album classic, Oh Buddy, Oh Buddy. My first guest, well, I'll give you the whole lineup. Coming up first is Mike Van Summeren, who's running for U.S. Congress against the incumbent Fitzgerald. Next, we have my kindred spirit, Sarah Rodriguez, and we'll explain that when she comes on. She's running for lieutenant governor and currently holds the rank of state assembly, correct? Yep.
Yes.
And then... Next, we're going to have Pete Pekarsky, candidate for U.S. Senate. He'll be showing up, and then we'll round it up with Sarah Harrison, our candidate for the State Assembly. So, but first, Waukesha, please say hello and to Mike Van Summeren. Mike, say hi.
Hi, Waukesha.
All right. Hey, we're really glad you're here. Mike, for those of you who don't know, is an attorney with Davis and Kilthow. Did I say that right?
Kilthow.
So he specializes in real estate and corporate acquisition. So it's a really impressive business background. And, well, Mike, how about tell us about yourself.
Sure. So, yes, I am a partner at Davis and Kilthow. I've been a partner for about 2 years now. And I grew up in a small town in northern Wisconsin called Somerset. Many of you have probably gone down the Apple River.
Near the border.
Oh, yeah.
Near the border.
Yep.
And so about 2,500 people. I grew up there. Played sports in high school. My dad's a truck driver. My mom is an office manager. Dad's actually a cement truck driver, about ready to retire in a year or so.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, I was very large and got the opportunity to go play for the Wisconsin Badgers. I walked on
football,
there.
Yeah. So let's talk about this story, and it makes a point about education, and I believe this is part of your platform. Mike, you were in, like, I think it was the second or third grade. You're walking down the hall, and a teacher notices you rising above the other classmates because of your height and your size and says, hey, would you like to play sport? How come you're not playing sports? It'll be great for you. And then a whole new world opened up for you.
Exactly. My parents were not sports fans. They became sports fans because they supported me.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what a football looked like until about third or fourth grade.
Right.
And then that ended up taking me to college. Had I not done that, I'd be driving a truck, because that was my plan, was to drive a truck and be just like my dad.
Yeah, which is great. Very noble, no doubt.
Absolutely.
But this led you all the way to Marquette Law School.
Yep.
You got your JD, and then a great career helping nonprofits and businesses.
Yep.
And really bringing a lot of experience to potentially to our U.S. Congress that maybe a lot of these other legislators don't.
Yeah, I think that it's true, because my whole job is to find solutions. My clients come to me, and you'll find that young attorneys, the first thing we have to break when we come out of law school is pointing out the problems. We have to find the solutions.
Yeah.
And right now we've got too many people in our elected offices, particularly on one side at this point, that likes to point out the problems and why we can't do something, rather than finding the solutions and how we can do it.
So I want to go back to your third grade story, because in today's environment where we're seeing teachers quitting by the dozens, especially here in Waukesha, there's the aftermath of Act 10. Do you think there will be more Mike Van Summeren stories based on the problem with our education system today?
I mean, I think it's harder, honestly, because, you know, public school is, my parents couldn't afford a private school. There wasn't a private school option. And the teachers that recognized me, they were with the school until I graduated, and they were there well before I got there. So these were long tenured people that retired as I was graduating high school. So, you know, that's 12 years at least, and they were in there before that. And, you know, one of the most important people in that whole thing, where my high school football coach was also my teacher.
Neat.
I mean, he passed away just recently, and we had 5,000 people show up to his funeral.
Wow.
And, I mean, just an impressive man.
That's terrific.
And this is a town of 2,500 people.
Yeah. Now, you're growing up in a small town. That's also got to give you an advantage in speaking to the heart of the district, you know, Fitzgerald country. How's that been working for you?
I think it helps because of the fact that it's where the middle lives, right? It's where a lot of our workers live. It's where a lot of our farmers live. It's where our food is grown. And we don't talk to those people enough anymore. A lot of times they're told how this will help them rather than talking about what they need and how we can help them and really getting input.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't feel heard in that area.
Sure, sure.
And so I like to go there, and a lot of my, you know, a lot of my friends are still living in Somerset or around Somerset.
Yeah.
And so I still hear what their concerns are. Like, they'll call me and say,
sure,
what about this? Even though I'm not their representative or going to represent them, I will represent them because they're in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do.
And so you live in Pewaukee and you're making an impact out there with
people
that more normally lean red. You work in downtown, but you have a Waukesha presence because you serve on the board of the Waukesha Habitat for Humanity. Is that correct?
Yes, I've been on the board there for a little over a year now. And honestly, I've had to step back a little bit because of all the campaign activities and things like that. But it's a great organization. And I've been involved in other organizations out here in Waukesha. My career started in Waukesha at a small firm that was called the Schrader Group that's been acquired. So yeah, I've had ties to Waukesha since I moved here 8 years ago. No, I'm sorry. 12 years ago, something like that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Hey, Connor, how are we doing on time before our first break?
We got about 4 minutes.
Hey, that's beautiful. I want to give Johnny Watermelon a chance to fire a question at Scott. What's on your mind?
Hey, Scott. You know, I just, you said a couple of things there that really resonated with me, and we got a couple of things in common here. I used to live in Hudson, Wisconsin, and I worked in Somerset.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very familiar with the Apple River and that whole kind of attraction there. What a beautiful area to spend some time in. And what I really liked hearing from you was your connection with the rural community. I think that's so important to get kind of centered with those folks and have an open dialogue. You said something earlier here about offering the tools for civic responsibility and duty and not shoving it down somebody's throat. Can you explain a little bit more about that and what your position is? Then I got a follow-up in a little bit after I hear that.
Sure. So, yeah, I think that a lot of people, especially in rural areas, when I was growing up, we looked skeptically at the government. It was seen as, if you were using the tools that were provided, it was being seen as a handout. And there's a pride. There's a sense of pride, especially in rural communities. Now, it exists everywhere, but especially in rural communities. And so there would be people that would not take advantage of these programs because they didn't want to be seen as taking a handout. And so what we have to help acknowledge is the fact that the super wealthy and the mega corporations are using these tools all the time, and they're fighting for more of these tools.
Right.
And so we're essentially fighting, if you're in the rural areas and you're not using these tools that are available, you're essentially fighting a fight with one hand tied behind your back. And you need to take advantage of them. It's not a handout. It's assistance. It's a tool. It's like when you're playing sports and you go to a program that gives you a weight room and all the supplements and protein powders and stuff like that. You're not cheating by taking them. You're doing everything you can to make you as strong as possible.
Yeah.
And we need everybody to be as strong as possible because we're only as strong as our weakest link.
Right.
Love it. Love it. Hey, so I think I have time for one more question, right, Connor?
Yep.
Connor? Yeah. So one thing I've been asking the candidates is, Waukesha has this proud nonpartisan tradition. And so what's the message you have for the people of Waukesha that they should take a chance on Mike Van Someren?
Well, I guess I would ask for what are the results that you're seeing right now from our current representative? You know, one, this is a 2-year term, so your biggest risk is 2 years, right? Two, this person has, Scott Fitzgerald has voted essentially with the majority of the Republican Party, National Party, every time. There is no deviation from what he does. And so, like, recently there was the vote on the guaranteeing access to contraception, not making anybody pay for it, not doing anything but making sure that you have access if you want it. And he voted against it. And I don't see how that is something that mainstream America wants at this point, is being told that their states can ban contraception.
Yeah, love it. So Mike's agreed to join us next week, so we'll have more quality time with him. Mike, anything else you want to say to the Waukesha folks before you walk the farmer's market today?
No, I just want to say thank you very much for having me, reach out on social media. I am very much about listening and responding.
Sure. What's your web address again?
It is www.mikevansumeren.com, MikeVansumeren.com.
Mike Van Someren, thanks. We look forward
to
seeing you next week. And don't go away. Sarah Rodriguez is next as This Week in Waukesha continues.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, have a good one. We'll be right back. ever do any work in the ER?
Yeah, I was an ER nurse. Yeah.
And we're back this week in Waukesha.
Some continues. I mean, yeah, I was
and
in Baltimore.
You're listening to my good friends, the Hot House Flowers, my fellow Irish, with Give It Up. We'll have to play that song more often. Sound good, Connor? So, yep. Waukesha, please join me in welcoming State Assemblywoman and candidate for Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez. Sarah, say hello.
Hey, Waukesha. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Now, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that Sarah is a kindred spirit of mine. And the reason why is we both suffered from the redistricting that took place as a result of the last census. Mine, after much homework, I don't think there was any twisted agenda, but for Sarah Rodriguez, I think, you know, one could argue, make a really strong case for gerrymandering because her district, you know, really changed dramatically.
It did.
And but fortunately, an opportunity opened up at a higher level for you to serve, and so I'm very excited about that. Sarah, tell us about yourself.
So, yeah, thank you so much for having me. So I currently represent District 13 within the Assembly. That's the western suburbs of Milwaukee, mostly Brookfield, Wauwatosa, Elm Grove, Milwaukee, a little bit of West Dallas. And I flipped that district this last election cycle from red to blue.
That's good.
But that is one of the reasons probably why they changed my district so much is because they were a little worried about continuing to have some of these districts stay blue. And so prior to being in the Assembly, I've worked in healthcare for a very long time. I've been a healthcare executive. I've been a nurse, a public health nurse. And that is really the lens that I want to bring to the Lieutenant Governor's role, which is one of investment in our kids, in our communities, and one of prevention.
That's terrific. So, and then also, too, you have a strong platform on education. Can you tell us about that as well?
Absolutely. My two kids go to public school. They actually go to the Waukesha School District. And I really think that we should be fully funding our public school district. We cannot afford to have public money go to private schools. We've got really innovative programs here in Waukesha. My kids go to the dual language program. My son goes to the engineering academy. We should really be putting our taxpayer dollars to make sure that our public school system can continue to have those types of innovative programs.
And that's the Engineering Academy at Waukesha South.
Right? Waukesha South, yep.
Fantastic. South, I have some kids there, so yeah, we'll have to talk more about that later. So terrific. So what else? So what I wanted to do, so you live in Waukesha then too, right?
I live in Tyler Brookfield. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So terrific. So yeah, that's still Waukesha to us.
Yeah.
So terrific. So now here in Waukesha, where there is, as you heard me mention to Mike, there is a strong nonpartisan tradition here, having served on the council and with the city. And how do you plan to approach the people of Waukesha? Or what's been your strategy for approaching them on why they should take a chance on Sarah Rodriguez?
You know, because I live in Waukesha County, you will not be surprised that my neighbors, my friends, and my family members all are, not all of them, but many of them are Republican. And guess what? We can sit down and have absolutely reasonable policy-based discussions and talk about the issues in the state and issues that are important to them. And so that's the kind of lens that I want to bring to the Lieutenant Governor's role, is being able to talk to people across the aisle, being able to have those conversations, and being able to move forward in Wisconsin, because that's what I hear from folks. They are so tired of the partisan bickering. They just want us to work together. They want us to move Wisconsin forward.
Sure. And so here's kind of a silly question, is that as Lieutenant Governor, do you pretty much follow the platform of the governor, and in this case, Governor Evers, or do you kind of get to have your own agenda or something similar, you know, as long as you're in a broader, like, scope?
You know, what I'm really hoping to do, and it's always up to Governor Evers how he would like his lieutenant governor to be focused, but he's been really fantastic with the current Lieutenant Governor Barnes. He was able to do some focus on green energy policy. Mm-hmm. I would love to continue to do that, continue on that work. The other thing I'd like to be able to focus on is healthcare. I have a very strong background in healthcare. Would like to be able to do those things.
Huge issue.
Yeah. Lastly is entrepreneurship. Wisconsin has one of the lowest rates of opening up small businesses. And here
really?
I am. Yeah, I'm at the farmer's market today. Fantastic businesses all around me. We should be doing this more.
Right.
So how can we move forward and make sure that we can get those heartbeats of the community out there, get those small businesses open?
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that, because we had a similar conversation with Tom Palzowitz last week, that we've got all these great entrepreneurs and small businesses around the state. And what can we do as a state government to to support, promote, and encourage more growth.
Right.
So it's great to hear you say that. Tell me, what would you say have been like your biggest achievements as a state rep?
You know, I've co-authored and co-sponsored a lot of different legislation there. One of the things that I'm most proud of is co-authoring the Badger Care expansion in Wisconsin. So this is an area where we are actually spending more money in Wisconsin to cover less people. So we didn't expand our Medicaid or Badger Care program to meet the Affordable Care Act guidelines. And so if we would expand our Badger Care to cover more people, these are low-income people who are working but just can't get the health care that they need, we would save $640 million, and we would get almost $2 billion from the federal government that we could invest in programs for vulnerable kids, vulnerable adults, and vulnerable seniors.
Wow, that's true. Yeah, and that's the thing is people aren't really, Pete Pekarsky talked about this last week, is that we're really not understanding the business arguments for affordable health care.
Yeah, I mean, we're putting politics before people.
Right.
And if my Republican colleagues, they like to say they like to make good business decisions. If they were going to make a good business decision, would a business leave almost $2 billion on the table when they could be investing that money in our communities?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That's a great point. So, Johnny, do you want to have a question for Sarah real quick?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Donnie, for letting me jump in. I have a question with your background there. Tell me a little bit about your position on women's health care and specifically contraception, because I feel like there's a black cloud kind of coming down. Can you talk on those two points for me?
Absolutely. So I am the only pro-choice woman who is running for lieutenant governor today. I co-authored the legislation to have a woman's right to choose within the assembly.
Okay.
And I was sitting in my seat when the 1849 antiquated, awful abortion law that we have here in Wisconsin. I was ready to do my job, and the Republican-led legislature basically gaveled out, told us all to go home within less than a minute with zero discussion. So let me be clear, abortion is health care. Birth control is health care, and I'm going to fight like hell to make sure that people in Wisconsin have access to those services without the interference of politicians.
Right on. Good for you.
Yeah, that's terrific. And, you know, it's my, you know, looking what's been going on with Roe v. Wade and the contraception, I've always referred to the abortion argument as the orange card of American politics. It's a way to win conservative votes, and it's and for those who aren't familiar, in Irish-British politics, it's how the Conservatives get the people from Northern Ireland to vote if there's this fear that Northern Ireland's going to be observed by the Irish Republic. And so it's the same thing here. It's a tactic to scare people. How do we get people to focus on the other issues central to their lives, the quality of the services they get, the quality of their kids' education, economic development, safer streets? What's your strategy for
that? Well, the reality is that over 60% of people in Wisconsin believe that a woman has a right to choose.
Yeah.
And that includes Republicans and independents.
Sure.
So this is not popular legislation at all. And so what the people of Wisconsin want us working on is expanding entrepreneurship. They want the economy moving.
Yep.
They want to make sure people have good jobs, that they only have to have one job to sustain their family, not multiple jobs. They want to have health care that's affordable, and they want to have good public schools to send their kids to. So, you know, I would really hope that my Republican colleagues in the legislature would be focusing on those issues and not these hot-button issues they continue to focus on today.
I love it. Connor, we got a minute or two?
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes.
Oh, that's perfect. So, Sarah, real quick, since you live here in Waukesha,
Waukesha County.
But here, do you have a favorite small business in Waukesha you'd like to shout out to?
Oh, I have many, many favorite businesses
we'll take more than one.
Waukesha. So there's a new coffee shop that opened up in downtown Waukesha called Katrina Cafe.
Yeah, mayor likes that too.
Yeah, you guys should check out.
Sure.
But that's an area too. Okay. And so absolutely check out all the businesses in downtown
Recent
Waukesha.
Recent Carroll University grads started that
Great. It's a really great coffee shop.
Oh, great. Well, I'm really glad you mentioned that. And then what other messages do you have for the people of Waukesha and Waukesha County and why they should take a chance on Sarah Rodriguez?
You know, I'm going to ask for your vote on August 9th. If you have not registered to vote, make sure you do that. It is very, very simple to register to vote. You can vote early absentee. You can go down to your clerk. You can also vote on the day on August 9th. And if you want somebody who's a nurse, who's a sitting legislator, who's owned her own business. These are the kind of things I bring to the table, so I would ask for your vote. And if you want to learn more about me, you can go to my website at sarafowi.com.
Thank you.
Learn more about me, yeah. And then sign up to volunteer if you get motivated.
Sounds great. And Sarah, hopefully, if her schedule allows, she's going to join us next week along with Mike Van Someren. But Sarah, thanks for joining us today. And folks, stick around. This Week in Waukesha continues.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Sarah.
Appreciate it.
Street arcade where the poor children play, gathering up charity to help them make their day. For me, I was once their age, once I was young, but I know I had my family to fall back on.
Give it up, share it out, yeah. Help who you can,
I know that you can.
Talk about
listening to talking.
That's a kind of ripping out of
one world.
Whoa, 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 it's our world. Yeah. Hey, this week in Waukesha continues, and those are my good friends, Todd Rundgren and Utopia, giving us some One World. Hey, before I introduce my next guest, I wanted to give a big shout out to 11th District Alderperson Alicia Helbenslaven, who's here in the studio, the mobile offices of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. And Alicia was very instrumental in delivering these wonderful guests on her show. That includes U.S. Congressional candidate Mike Van Someren, Assemblywoman and candidate for Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And now my third guest is a candidate for state representative as well. She was on the show a couple times. First time she was on, she was running for our Waukesha School Board and unfortunately did not win, much to the regret of many Waukesha residents like myself. But she's here now continuing the fight and trying to represent us at the state level. Sarah Harrison, say hello to Waukesha.
Hello, Waukesha.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day. We got lots of sunshine and lots of people out here at the farmers market.
So you were on our inaugural broadcast, and for those of you who don't know, the offices of former Alderman Don Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios, at 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the NAMI building, right around the corner from Theodore Humans Park, where we're proud to recognize our suffragette heritage here in Waukesha. And So, Sarah, you are also on our inaugural broadcast at the Farmers Market here back in June. What has happened so far in your campaign? What are some of the strides you've made?
We have had a lot of progress, a lot of excitement going on behind our campaign. Sarah Rodriguez is currently in the seat that I am running for, and she is so fantastic, and I am hoping to continue a lot of the great things she's doing. I will say, in our first financial reporting cycle, we had over 200 individual donors who
Terrific.
Wanted to see us fighting the good fight and continuing to do that good work.
And I know from my own experience, that's a lot for a campaign, so especially for a first-time candidate for state assembly.
Yep.
So, like to hear that. And could you reiterate, if you don't mind, just kind of your party piece or your elevator pitch. Like, what do you stand for, and what are we looking to change? We know you're big on education.
I am indeed. Yes. Well, first and foremost, the most important thing to know about me is that I am the mother to two wonderful humans, and I want to make sure we leave Wisconsin and the world at large a better place than we found it for those great young humans that are in my life. And, you know, the others are okay too, but mostly for me. No, I'm kidding. The things that I'm really focused on trying to deliver for the people of Wisconsin is returning reproductive rights to the people, which have been taken away by the Supreme Court and by our state legislature at this point by not overturning a law from 1849. So that's number one. Number two is really to make sure that we're continuing to embrace and support our local economy through things that we can do as a state, such as the Main Street Bounce Back grants that Tony Evers did, such as using some of the excess funds that we have to help local communities fund things as well. So that's number two. And then when we talk about number three, it's really about continuing to support our strong education system. We are number eight in the country when we look at Wisconsin in terms of quality of education, but it's not going to continue if we don't fund those programs and continue to make sure we have a strong public education system.
Sure, sure, like that. So, and what about on the economic development front? Because, you know, that's always, you know, front and center with a lot of our voters.
Yes.
What are some of your ideas for building our state's economy?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the things that I'm hearing as I'm out talking to some folks, I'm talking to people who are involved with the local government, but also talking to, you know, citizens at large. People want to have a little more funding from the state to determine what we can do with that at the local level. If the local level needs more funding in their, you know, public safety programs or in their educational programs, whatever it may be, to give them a little bit more latitude to use that dollar as is most important in their area. And we do have a surplus in our budget right now. We should be supporting these communities and the systems that serve us well.
That sounds great. I appreciate that. And I apologize if I look distracted. Pete Pekarsky just came into the mobile office here. So Pete will go on next. Hello, Peter. So we're talking about economic development. We're talking about women's rights. We're talking about education. Your predecessor, now our candidate for Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, has also been big on health care.
Absolutely.
So what are some of your specific positions on that and how you hope to improve health care for our Wisconsin residents?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, affordable, accessible health care is a human right, and it's not something that should be reserved for folks who have the money to afford it. So that's a human right, and we need to make sure that it's around and that we're able to bring that into all communities, all types of folks. And within our specific area, you know, so District 13 now with the new maps is Brookfield, Elm Grove, and a little scoop of Wauwatosa, as I like to call it.
Your work cut out for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do indeed. Within that area, I think things that people want to continue to see are, you know, things such as when we had the pandemic, having accessibility to the COVID vaccine, having places they can go that have public services available, that are easy to find, easy to access, and don't require you to have deep pockets.
Sounds great. I like that. And, you know, one thing I can share with you, too, my experiences in city council was that having good relationships with our state representatives was really important to our efforts at the city level. Like Scott Allen was always in good communication with the city and with myself, and a person from the other side of the aisle that really engages well with others. And so how do you plan on engaging our local leaders and building a better Wisconsin?
Oh, that's a great question. So I have already been in touch with some of the alders in the Brookfield area, and of course I'm well-versed in the town of Brookfield, which is where I live, which is part of the Waukesha School District. But I also have been getting more involved and having some conversations with folks in the Elm Brook School District and understanding that leadership and some of the challenges they face. Some of them are very similar and some are a little different because you get two different communities there. But really, I mean, getting on the phone and actually just talking to people. I know it sounds simplistic, but it's a step that you got to do, and I think a lot of people, unfortunately, don't always do it.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't. And that's another story. But my state rep is invisible, but that's another. we'll talk about that in another time. But so, Sarah, you live here in Waukesha. Again, your kids are in Waukesha schools. Mm-hmm. What is your message to Waukesha's nonpartisan community on why they should take a chance. Well, they're not in your district, though, are they?
No, no, no. Okay, so I actually live in town of Brookfield, but it's
right.
Waukesha School District.
Yep.
It's a confusing little slice there.
But same thing. Okay, so but in Brookfield, you know, in the heart of that district, how do you hit that center? Because,
right.
You know, your other guests have talked about how the center is just not represented here.
Right.
Hey, Norm. And Norm Bruce just walked by. What's your message to those people on why they should take a chance on Sarah Harrison?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, folks in the center and folks who are more on the left agree on a lot of things. For example, most people do agree that we should have those basic reproductive rights and the right to choose. My opponents do not support that. I do. One of the things that you will see both of, there are two Republicans and they're in a primary, but you will see both of them speaking about casting doubt on the 2020 election when we know that it was legitimate. I was personally one of the recall observers, and so I sat next to my Republican counterpart and we watched them count it, and I mean, I was physically there. We know it was legit. They're both leaning into that big lie. I am not going to take you down a conspiracy theory rabbit hole. And honestly, I grew up in Iowa. I've lived in Waukesha County for a long time. I am not like, you know, some coastal elite kind of person, which I don't think really exists anyway, but I'm a pretty down-to-earth person that if you want to know if you can trust me and if we're on the same side, call me.
That's
go on my website.
Yeah, right on.
That's terrific. Hey, Johnny, you have a question for Sarah?
You know, I just had one question here. You're meeting with a lot of people on the street and pressing the flesh and that kind of thing. Is there one topic maybe that just is really super irritating to them?
Something that's irritating to them. There's a couple of things that I'm hearing. One, people are frustrated about inflation, and of course they are, and we have to do everything that we can to help support folks, whether it's things like Main Street Bounce Back, which helps support our local businesses, or providing some tax relief for our middle class.
Love
that's
it.
Another
there
thing
you go.
Great. Okay.
That we need to do.
Hey, Sarah Harrison, thanks again for joining us again. Stick around. This Week in Waukesha continues with Pete Pekarsky. Don't go away.
Thank
thanks,
you.
Sarah. Great segment.
Sir, great job. Appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thank you. Say quick hello to my former constituents and good friends and neighbors, the Hederas, Bob and Sandy. Thanks for stopping by, you guys. We're going to have you on the show sometime. Does that sound good? Hey, so before we introduce our next guest, I want to remind everybody that Morning Cannolis follows This Week in Waukesha with retired U.S. Attorney James Santel. Happens to be one of Johnny's favorite shows after This Week in Waukesha. So who doesn't need good legal advice, right?
Exactly. Stick around and free. So stick around for James Santel. So, but speaking of great legal advice, I am proud to have back become a good friend. This is his fourth time on the show. He is the candidate for U.S. Senate that just does not get enough love from our media, from other forces, has been shunned from the debates, and the people of Wisconsin need to hear more about his story. Pete Pekarsky, welcome back.
Honor and a privilege to be here. Great
sounds
to be
great.
Here.
Good to see you, Pete.
There you go.
Great to be.
Yeah.
Coming through okay?
This
yep, sound good now, man.
Okay. So terrific. So, we're going to talk about today. You called last night, and I think I completely forgot. No, I think we talked about the integrity of our elections and
right.
what you're going to do to help safeguard that if you're elected
right.
to the U.S. Senate. So,
yeah, sure. There are a lot of things that have to be done. Keeping track of what's going on. We're doing it now for the upcoming election. We did it in 2020 for the presidential election, and for the two elections in Georgia, protected those elections, got Senators Warnock and Senator Ossoff in.
Sure.
We've got the notices on for the information we need to all the counties in the state of Wisconsin right now,
yeah, good.
As we did before the November 2020 election.
Sure.
But what has to happen, following the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Mathematics and Medicine report in 2018, we've got to realize that there are software issues with these machines,
yeah,
and something has got to be done to bring the whole system under control. So everybody votes, and all those votes get counted exactly as cast.
Love it.
And
sounds good. Yeah, works for me. I got a question for you, Pete, that I didn't prep you for, but in my time, I used to be an intern in the U.S. Congress, and there was once, it still might be there, a Northeast Midwest coalition supported by a Northeast Midwest Institute, and it was a collection, a bipartisan coalition of legislators, Congress and Senate, from the Northeast and Midwest, and a study was done by the Institute revealing that our region accounts for X percentage of the revenues for the federal government, but what we get back goes to the Sun Belt regions. And they made a big stink about this in the 90s, and I would believe that it's still true. So, you know, what are you going to do for us in Washington that's going to really promote economic development and natural resources, all the wonderful things we have in Wisconsin and in the Great Lakes region that should command more federal resources?
Advocating both in the Appropriations Committee and the appropriations process, in the authorization process, to get the funds we need in Wisconsin, all over the state. I mean, you mentioned the national security background, and as somebody with that background, I realize that national security begins with safe streets and economic opportunity in every zip code in Wisconsin. And that's what I'm trying to do in the United States Senate. We've got to put together coalitions. If we need the votes from New England, get them. And get the votes in the House and the Senate to get funds flowing in here the way they should be.
Yeah.
You're right. There are a lot of people who complain, sure, about the federal government, and they end up with a disproportionate share of the money,
yeah,
in the Sun Belt.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, and I think part of the uphill battle for you, too, is just this, and every other candidate, is this disinformation that's going on. How does a very well-educated, very bright individual like yourself try to break down those barriers, and when you're pressing the flesh and you're meeting the constituents out in the street
at
their homes?
I just try and explain the facts. I mean, just try and explain the truth. Here are the facts. You know, here are the acknowledged facts.
Well, what about those alternative facts? How do we fight that?
The other word for them, I guess, without using an L word, the other word for them is misrepresentations, or maybe malicious. That was an L in there. Anyway, malicious misrepresentations.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. They're misleading people.
Sure.
The newspapers in general in this country, the journalists in this country, and do whatever they can to report the facts.
Yeah.
Sometimes they make a mistake, but they correct
it. Sure.
They're doing what we can.
Yeah.
The scientists all over this country are doing whatever they can to come up with accurate information for the American people. You got to watch out sometimes about the funding for some of the research.
You got to question the funding. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. But if the funding is legitimate, generally, you know, that research comes up with facts, and people. You know, it's fact-based, and if you don't operate that way, sooner or later, problems arise.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go on for a long time thinking, okay, believing in these hoaxes or believing in things that aren't true, and eventually you get smacked in the face.
Yeah.
So I just try and lay out the facts for people.
So,
as far as I'm concerned, I agree with Tom Cruise. The people can handle the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good statement.
That's a great statement. Yeah. Well said. So, but, you know, I was just going to say, and I just, I lost my thought there for a second.
We were on the hoaxes.
Oh, so we were on, one big hoax is the fact that you've been shunned from a couple of these debates. And it's if I remember correctly, it's based on, like, the Marquette polls, which were really accurate in 2016, as we all know, that, you know, they had Hillary winning and Feingold winning. So what have you done to address that? I know we're pleased to have you on the show, and I hope that helps. Well, what are some of the other tactics you've done to try to offset, you know, obviously, you know, some big shuns like that.
Yeah, setting up to be on television, talking to the executives of the corporations involved, who gave corporate donations of, it was right on the air there, of $120,000 apiece to each of the five people on the debate stage last week. One of those people was on the debate stage because he had 5,000 donations, not necessarily from the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I talked to the station. I said, look, you got an ethics code. It's right on your website. But this does not comport with it. Yeah. We talked to the president and CEO of the corporate owner, or tried to get a hold of him, and said,
Sure.
You guys say right here to your shareholders in the Securities and Exchange Commission, you're operating a business honestly, but this doesn't cut it.
Yeah, so what gives?
Yeah. Right, precisely, so what gives?
And what was their response?
He didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
His chief legal ethics officer, with whom we had spoken, chief ethics officer, number two legal guy at the company, said, called back and said, we're not talking to you again. You know, so this was not straightforward.
Yeah.
So all you can do is keep on pointing it out and point out another thing. One of the people not on that stage was somebody who defended you and Johnny and everybody else in this country, put his life on the line every day for 29 years in the uniform of the United States Army and in combat earned a Bronze Star.
Sure.
And that was one of the people kept off the stage for bogus reasons last Sunday. That's not me. That's Darryl Williams. Shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Travesty.
That is. Yeah. That's Darren. So.
And the other thing I can point out is that everybody, all the people on that ballot have been certified by the state of Wisconsin to have at least 2,000 supporters. That Marquette poll, and they're all investigated, verified. That Marquette poll found another, like, 26 people for one person and 33 for another, and all of us have way over 2,000, and said, okay, we're going to throw them on the stage. When that Marquette poll happened, looking at that margin of error, if you use it the way some people use it, there are six people tied in third place, two of them made it to the stage. This is making no sense. And the station has the station and their executives and their reporters and editors have no reasonable explanation for what happened, as far as I'm concerned.
That's unfortunate. And disappointing, too, knowing a lot of the local businesses that sponsor those stations, as well as the people that get the news, and deserve better. And so are you doing anything on social media, maybe?
We are. Yeah. We've got the ad up on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. It's on my website. We're sending it around to people, email lists and things.
Sure.
Take a look at the website, PekarskiForWisconsin.com.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
There's an About tab. Just click on it. It'll drop down. It'll say, watch the TV ad here. Just click the button, watch the ad.
Sounds great.
And please send it to all your friends. Every email address you have, just send it to them. Put it on every website that you hit. Facebook, Twitter, all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do.
Yeah.
Johnny, give Pete a question.
Pete, last time we talked, we were off air and we were spending a little time here, and I just would like you to kind of share with our listeners some of your thoughts on the Second Amendment, and you specifically mentioned something about a well-armed militia, and where some of these, let's call them incidents, happen with the AR-15s and some of these high-powered military firearms. Can you speak to that a little bit and share with our listeners what you told me last time?
Yeah, I think what I said was that the text of the Second Amendment says, you can check it yourself, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Right on.
And the concern at that time was that the federal government was going to march in and take over the states. That's no longer a concern. And every time I read about somebody going off and murdering 20 children in school who just came there to study all day long, I always look in the newspaper. Okay, and they got big, long articles about this. I said, okay, to what well-regulated militia to this person belong? And the answer is none.
All right. Right.
And
so there it is.
There are plenty of responsible gun owners in this country who will and should keep... Right, precisely. Who will and should hold on to their guns. They've been taught since infancy almost how to handle guns and how to be safe with them. But there are controls which can be put in place, letting the responsible gun owners hold on to their guns and cutting down the slaughter
kind of how we doing
in our schools and on our streets. Ron Johnson hasn't lifted a finger to do anything about this.
Sure.
He's taken $1.25 million from the National Rifle Association. Yeah. I'm here to replace him and get something done about this in accord with the Second Amendment and recognizing we got responsible gun owners.
Pete, in the time we have left, give us one big reason why the people of Wisconsin should take a chance on Pete Pekarsky and send Ron Johnson home.
Because due to my education and experience, I am seriously qualified to shred Ron Johnson's policies during the campaign on and off the debate stage and to represent all of the people of Wisconsin on the many critical and complicated technical and legal issues we face at home, in cyberspace, national security, and foreign affairs.
Sounds great. Pete Pekarsky, thank you. And thank you to all the candidates who joined us today. Thanks for joining us on This Week in Waukesha. Morning Cannolis is next with James Centel, Johnny Waterman, Matt Watermelon. Connor, thank you. And remember, everybody, safety is everyone's responsibility. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye for now.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks very much.